for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Saturday afternoon service of September the 1st, 1990, the Labor Day family camp meeting being held at Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Irma Miller is the speaker.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Well, that was a big loss. And then the tornado hit them, and a barn full of hay that he had for his cattle blown away. And I mean, they've just had it, and they've had it. That's right. And he got hurt his back and had to be operated on his back. And I don't know what all has happened to him. And I want to read you a scripture in Deuteronomy, someplace back here. Deuteronomy 7. We are a little fanatical here, I realize, for some of you, but try to bear with us and love us anyway. Pray for us. Deuteronomy 7 and 25. The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou become a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. I didn't know that scripture was, you know, we were taught that the Old Testament was, we didn't have to pay any attention to the Old Testament, that we just read the New Testament, that's all. And I didn't know a thing about that scripture. And the Lord seems to push us into things that we do and pray about, and then we have to find out in the scriptures why we were doing this and what about it. And Glenn mentioned this last night about this girl that had cancer, and I did not know her, and I did not know she had cancer, but her mother had her dad had a heart attack. Glenn went up into intensive care right after the heart attack and walked right in, and in the name of Jesus, he commanded the spirit of death to leave that man and life to come in, and the man set up. And so their daughter wrote us a letter and thanked us for thank Glenn for praying, and said, "I too am sick. Would you pray for me?" Well, it was written on. It was in the olden days, way back in probably 1975, and it had this little card. She sent this tiny, tiny little letter, written real tiny, and I put that up on my calendar on my desk. Yeah, it was 3 years. I guess it's 74, 75, 77, 78. Anyway. Every day I'd pray for her. I didn't know what she wanted prayer for. She just said she needed prayer. And one day I was going into town, and we have to pass her house on the way to town. And as I started to pass her house, I felt this tent of the glory of the Lord just come down over me and enshroud me. And I thought, I guess the Lord wants me to go in there and pray for her. But I didn't really want to, you know, I didn't want to go in there. I didn't know the girl. And so I went on to town. I did my errands, whatever, and I got back to the grocery store, and I was going to get meat and some ice cream and some groceries. I got down to the door, and all of a sudden, this tent of the glory of the Lord. I love the glory of the Lord. I wish that tent would stay on me all the time, but I don't know how to keep it all the time. And so I knew that I better go back and pray for that girl and not get any ice cream or milk or meat. So I started back toward home. When I got there, I saw her mother's car. Her mother was a real estate lady that sold us this property. And I was glad that her mother was going to be there. So I walked in. I didn't know what I was going to face. I didn't know she had cancer or anything. So I walked in, knocked at the door, and her father was already home from the hospital, and he was crying. I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, they gave her up to die this morning. The clinic has told us she's not going to live." I said, "Well, what is the matter with her?" He said, "Well, cancer of the colon." I said, "Oh, my." So he said, "Go on back there," and she's back in that bedroom with her mother. So I walked in, and what I saw, I was not ready for it at all. I was not mature enough to know what to do. So all I could say to her is, oh, I don't know how to pray for you in English. I will have to pray for you in tongues. And she said, that'll be all right. And she looked like an old witch sitting up in one of those propped up chairs, the seats in the bed. And see, I knew after I said it, about 20 minutes later, that she was a Nazarene church member and did not believe in speaking in tongues. But she said, that'll be all right. So I walked over to her, laid my hand on her head, and this fire, this sheath of fire, was coming down over me and going down this arm. Put my hand on her head, prayed in tongues about two lines, didn't even know what it said, but that I just stood there and I said, honey, that's the virtue of the Lord coming into you. Just keep taking it in. I just stood there until it subsided. What I was really seeing was a grown woman with a three-year-old child that weighed 68 pounds. You know, that's what I saw when I walked in. I didn't realize that she weighed that little about, but she didn't look like any human being, really, at all. And as I turned around, now this may blow your mind, but as I turned around, she was facing me in a big king-size bed, and I was up in front, and I turned around, and all over this wall of her room was these huge, big owl pictures of owls. I turned around, and I said, oh, those are what's making you sick. She said, well, that big one over there is a big, beautiful painting. When you prayed in tongues, he's angry. He looks mean at me right now, and he never looks mean at me. So I said, well, you need to get rid of those. I didn't know this scripture was in here to bring no abominable thing into your house. I didn't even know an owl was abominable. I didn't know anything. I didn't know why I was saying all that. Well, to make a long story short, she gets out of bed. When I finished praying, she said to me, I believe I'm healed. I said, well, I believe you are too. And about that time, her husband was a lawyer. He phoned, and she said, I want to go out to eat tonight. She hadn't kept anything down for about 6 weeks. And she told her husband that. He said, what's coming off out there? Well, Miss Miller came by, and my mother, and they prayed for me, and I'm healed, and I want to go out to eat tonight. So he said, I'll be right home as soon as I get out of court. He had just heard the news from the clinic. So she gets out of bed, and she begins to walk. And she literally walked what I thought at the time was like a penguin. It's really strange, not like a woman. And what she was really, she'd taken on all the attributes of an owl. And I said, well, let's walk through the house and see what else is in here that might be making you sick. Well, she had the little girl had a big toy box made like a big frog with great big eyes. And that little girl was also already sexually active in masturbation at 3 years old. But her mother had told her, oh, well, all kids do that. Don't worry about it. See the unclean spirit in the book of Revelation? See that? We don't have any business having frogs in our house. That's abominable. Nor owls either. I found out later that they were listed among the abominable things in the Bible. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, that night about 8 o'clock, she phoned me. She says, I went out for dinner tonight. I said, you did? What did you eat? I was waiting for the worst. She said, a hamburger, french fries, and a Coke. I got off the phone. I said, Glenn, she better be healed or she'll be dead by morning. And praise God, she was healed, and I had told her, you better take this out. Well, she told her mother, and her mother said, honey, your husband will put us over in Benton in the mental hospital. We can't do that. We'll tell him we're going to paint. And we'll take it all down. And I said, you better tell your husband the truth. So she told him the truth. And she had all the attributes of an owl. She slept all day and the little girl slept all day. When he came home from court, she'd go to bed. Or she'd get up and she'd stay up all night, rattling pans, cooking, carrying on, just like an owl stays up all night. Isn't that too much? That was almost too much for me. At least I think I'm partly educated. But that girl got healed. Totally healed. But 2 weeks later, she called me. She said, come up here quick. My mother's on the way. I said, what's the matter? She said, well, this morning, now they had taken these things out, but they put them in the pantry, the walk-in pantry in the kitchen. And she said, this morning I was walking down the hall and something grabbed me. I bent over double and I began to vomit up that black stuff again. And she said, I went back to bed, and Amy, the little girl, walked into the kitchen, got this huge big owl that I said was the king of the crop in there, and brought it back and put it right under her bed. And then she just vomited and vomited and vomited. So she says, you've got to get this stuff out of my house. So we went up there. I mean, we had about a truckload of stuff. This was a, you know, sometimes we have to have these real sharp cases to make a believer out of us. Otherwise, I'd have probably thought I was crazy and, you know, and forgot about it. But we brought all that stuff out, and she began to gain weight. And now she weighs 130 pounds, and that's been since 1976. And doctors told her it would come back on her, but it never came back on her. 78, whatever time it was. Isn't Jesus wonderful? See, he teaches us all different ways. So I started looking up abominable things, and oh my, I'm not going to read them to you because you'll really get mad at me, because there's a lot of things that he says is abominable that we eat, or some people eat. And but anyway, now we're going to talk about the cult. Well, I don't know how many people knew Derek Prince, but he would tell you right straight to the point. And he was staying 10 days at our house, and one day he said to Glenn and me, he said, I must pray for you people before I leave. You're both under the power of a fortune teller. Oh, my. What a jolt. I said, I've never been to a fortune teller. I don't want to be under any power of a fortune teller. Glenn said he'd never been to one, but we didn't want to be any power of a fortune teller. I said, now, I read some horoscopes. He said, no, that's bad, but that's not what you're under. So I said, well, I want prayer. So when he prayed for me, this tent lifted off of me that I could even see better, hear better, think better, and everything. I didn't know where it's coming from, but I don't fight it. If you come and tell me I've got something, just pray for me and get it out. If it's not in there, it ain't going to come out, that's for sure. But it's not going to hurt anything to pray. He prayed for Glenn. Another tent lifted off of me. Lifted off of him. Boy, we were different people. He burned a whole bunch of books that was in our nice library, we thought. Built it in the fireplace, because we couldn't burn outdoors in the Los Angeles area. And we had to paint the living room because it smoked up everything. You know, we had a nice Mormon Bible and a Jehovah's Witness Bible and collected Bibles, you know. We didn't need Gene Dixon book, a few other bad things. And he just really took the liberty because, boy, we were wanting to be clean. He said, well, I'll tell you where it's coming from. It's coming through both of your mothers. Well, Glenn's mother received the Holy Ghost in 1922. We all received it in the early 30s. My folks, my parents, they were Assembly of God ministers after they got saved and got filled with the Spirit. And I didn't ever know of my mother ever going to a fortune teller, but he says it's coming through our mothers. Well, Glenn's mother came over about 3 days. And it was a funny thing. She's a very spiritual woman. If she was here today, she'd be shouting hallelujah. She's 89 years old and more active than I am, to tell you the truth. And she came over and I said, you know anybody in the family that's ever been to a fortune teller? She said, oh, yes, I have when I was 17 years old. I said, did you know Brother Prince picked that up on Glenn and said we were under the power of a fortune teller? I'll never forget it as long as I live. She hit the ceiling. It's nice, lovely. She is lovely. Pentecostal the woman, she said, you tell that old Derek Prince he don't know what he's talking about. She's screeching at everything's under the blood, everything's under the blood, everything's under the blood. And when she said that, that tent came right back over me again. But I didn't know what to do. Glenn came home and I told him about it. And he prayed for me and he said, now don't let her put that on you anymore. But I didn't, and I never have. We go back to visit my parents. Big family reunion. You'd just die laughing if you'd have been there. Great big table, all the relatives, you know, we come from California, they made everything we all liked, and we were all eating, and right out in the blue sky, right out of my mouth said, anybody here been to a fortune teller, this family? My brother said, oh, I had when I was 17 years old. I said, did you know Brother Prince picked that up on me? What do you think she did? Same thing. Everything's under the blood, everything's under the blood. And my dad finally, the whole table went berserk. You should have been there and seen all the relatives, you know, my brother and his wife and family. And my dad got up and said, shut up, everybody. Be quiet. Everybody be quiet. Now, let's talk about this a little bit. He said, now, I had a Ouija board in our house when I was a kid. Well, that is bad if you've got Ouija boards or ever had one or ever played around with one. And he said, and then my mother said, well, don't you remember your grandmother going to fortune tellers all the time? I said, no. I don't remember that. I said, and she said, do you remember your grandparents that came from Germany? They used to read palms and tea leaves and go to fortune tellers all the time. I said, no, I don't remember that. All I remember about my great-grandparents was she'd rock me in the rocking chair and they'd make us cookies when we go. And so my dad says, I think this might have some credence. Now, this is what happens when this is visited down to the third and the fourth generation, you see. And that's 160 years, isn't it? Approximately. Back in our family line. And God says, I will visit it down upon you. You say, well, everything's under the blood. Well, maybe, but maybe not. Why do you think the occult spirits will bring divorce in a family, bring strife in a church, bring sickness on us? It's witchcraft. It's divination. It's all these things. And it will bring nothing but disaster in the families. And you know, there's divorce in preachers' homes right now. There's all kinds of strife in churches. There's all kinds of people having all kinds of problems with addictions. It will bring on, allow alcoholism to come in the family line. It will allow all these things. And those things we need to get rid of. There's all kinds of books that we've indulged ourselves in reading. I had only read Gene Dixon's book. It was only because I was so hungry for some prophecy and something like old-time Pentecost to come into this cold, dead church that we attended. It was a big, nice church, painted windows, nice pews. But there wasn't any spirit there. And I came in the holy roller days, you know, where they threw rocks at my dad when he preached, rotten eggs in the church, more people outdoors than inside, and all that nice excitement of the power of God moving, and people being healed. And the devil had dealt me some real blows. Another thing Brother Prince said to me, you've got a curse of death over you. Oh, dear. I said, oh, dear. But I said, well, I believe that, because ever since I've been a little girl, I've come to death's door so many times, and I could never figure out why I was always so sick, and my brother would get over the measles right away, and I'd have the three-day measles about 6 weeks, you know, and gatherings in my ear and all this trouble. And then when I got older and got married, we had a bad car wreck, my spleen was ruptured, I had to have a total hysterectomy and all kinds of things because of adhesions growing. The doctor said you should have died on the street. This was the enemy doing all these things to me, trying to kill me. And the reason being, and my mother told me this, she said, your grandmother stomped her feet the day you were born and wished you would die because she only wanted my mother to have one child. And I had a brother. You see, all these things have meaning to them, and we go on through life wondering, what is wrong with us? What is wrong with me? Why am I like this and other people aren't like this? So anyway, he broke that curse of death off of me, but the doctor had told me, you should die. And then one day, I was in the hospital 17 days, and he finally made me go home because he said I liked that Demerol too much, and I could literally hear it crying down inside. I didn't know it was a demon crying for dope. He sent me home, and I was hurting. I was really hurting. It wasn't a put-on act. He sent me home, and the next night I began to hemorrhage. And Glenn called and said, should she be doing that? And he said, no, bring her in here quick. And they did a few things to me in the middle of the night. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, a nurse walked down the hall because she heard somebody walking. She didn't see a soul. And it was in the days when they didn't have intensive care. I was up near the nurse's station. If you were real sick, you were put up there. It was a brand-new hospital, beautiful hospital. And she walked up the hall with her flashlight, and there was blood running out of my room into the hall. Well, she flipped on the lights and called whatever the SOS people are, and they all come running. And I had literally almost bled to death. My hands were swiveled up. They had no blood in there, so they brought in some kind of yellow stuff that looked like Wesson oil. And they started poking my ankles. I didn't have any veins. They were just going all crazy. And I was just laying there just, you know, almost gone. And the doctor came in next morning. He said, when you tell me you hurt, I will believe it from now on. He said, I thought you were just putting on an act, but I was really hurting. There was some kind of an abscess that broke loose and pushed the main suture. These girls and their nurses that cuts off when they took out the uterus, that came open. And the nurse kept saying, I heard somebody walking, but I didn't know who it was. I never did see a soul walking. I didn't think anything about it. 10 years went by. One day we were up in Calgary, Canada, the Full Gospel Convention. I was praying. We were in a Holy Ghost meeting. There was just about this many, about halfway back there. Jewel Rose, you know Jewel Rose, Brother Papel, probably. He was leading this Holy Ghost meeting, and all of a sudden he stopped and he said, "Everybody, touch the person next to you." And when I reached over and touched this other girl, she jumped and she said, "Oh, I was having a vision about you. I saw a little lamb and in a pool of blood." And she gave me that scripture in Ezekiel, and then she gave me another scripture. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said to thee, "Live." I washed thee with water and anointed thee with oil. And she gave me those scriptures. They didn't mean a thing to me. So that night I wrote them down. And I was used to, you know, all these visions and everything that people have nowadays. I wasn't used to any of that. I'd never had anybody have a vision about me. That night I go upstairs and I said to Glenn, "Now, some woman had a vision over me, and I don't know what it means." And she gave me these scriptures, and I want to read them to you and let you tell me what it means. But when I started to read it, I realized, "When I passed by thee," that was Jesus. That was Jesus. That was Jesus. He said, "I saw you polluted in your own blood," and I said, "Live." When he says live, you're going to live. You're not going to die. And I praise the Lord that that curse of death was broken off of me. And I praise the Lord for every minister that's ever prayed for us. Every one of them. I praise the Lord for all you people, lay people that pray for us. I'm telling you, when you're in the battleground, you need people praying for you all the time. We could have never stood this. All the persecution, you know, we quote that scripture. If you give up houses and lands and family and all this stuff, you know, I'll return 100-fold. Well, we did that. But there's one little scripture that's part of that scripture that says with persecution. You think we haven't had persecution since we've been here? Most people think, well, I didn't tell you another part. About 2 years later, I had a total nervous breakdown. They had to put me in a hospital, gave me 17 shock treatments, knocked every brain out of my head. And they did. And they told Glenn I was a total vegetable and would never come out. You think I have any reason to be mad at Satan? You think I have plenty of reason to be mad at him? He is cruel. If he makes up his mind that he's going to try to kill you, you better get to some ministry with anointing. And but I, you see, we had to learn all this the hard way. There wasn't one single book when God brought us into this deliverance. Finally, Derek made that little 25-cent book on demons. It's back there, and it's very, very good. Then the Lord just started bringing us into various ministries. But this afternoon, well, I'll tell you, I was in this mental hospital. Glenn, they left me there. I didn't know anything. I didn't know I had a husband. I didn't know I had two teenagers. I didn't know from nothing. But all I would know, when they would come in from UCLA and they were experimenting with me with shock treatments, I would see them come in and I'd start to scream because it is excruciating. It's horrible. After the third one, they never gave me sodium pentothal. They just come in, strapped me down, took off my rings, took off my watch, and I would scream and scream, and they'd turn on that electricity and I would go unconscious and be unconscious for maybe a day or two. Talk about, and every one of those, I can see those men yesterday, and they all look like demons. But I didn't know what a demon was in those days, see? But anyway, the Lord moved on Glenn, and he called the church. He was a Sunday school superintendent. He said, "The Lord has shown me that if we'll fast and pray, Irma will get better. She is no better. In fact, she is worse." And, you know, anything that happens like that, they tried to keep it sort of secret from everybody. They didn't want anybody to know. Here this leader of the women's missionary thing and all that was up there mentally sick, insane. And so he started to fast. He told them to fast and pray and come to the church, as many as could, every day, and try to come every hour, some different person. A few people responded, and they began to fast and they prayed. And about the third or fourth day, I woke up. I saw all these people with white coats on and white. I said, "Have I been in another car accident?" And the nurse said, "No." Or the girl next door in the bed next to me said, "No, you're tired." I said, "But I'm not tired." I got right out of bed, walked in the bathroom. If my hair didn't look like Phyllis Diller, you never saw. I saw a cosmetic, my case there, and I saw curlers. I just put my head under the faucet, washed my hair, put my hair up in curlers, started asking, where's my husband, where's my children, where am I? And I didn't know. Talk about a shock. All these people that were so mentally retarded, mentally sick, and I didn't know I was one of them, you know. I just kept saying, did I have a car accident? What is the matter with me? And the girl was telling me a little bit, and of course she was sick too, so she didn't know too much, except she said, well, the doctor said that your brain goes at triple speed, and it got tired and turned off. I had been working really, really hard at Lockheed Missiles and working with a lot of scientists and supervising a bunch of girls, and that would be enough in some to drive you crazy, slapping a bunch of women. But anyway, I went home. Glenn come and got me, and I went home, and I never had to go back. Now, maybe some of you think I belong back in there, but I'm telling you, the Bible says we overcome by the word of our testimony, and I don't like to always tell about this, but you see, insanity is one of the attributes of the occult and mind problems. And a lot of people have schizophrenia and mind problems, and it's more serious than what you think. It is more serious than what you think. And we get all kinds of people that need prayer, and we're glad to pray for them. And I praise God for authority in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Is that A-double-L? Is that all of the powers of the enemy? Praise the Lord. Now, I want Glenn to come, and we're going to begin to come against these mind spirits, mind-binding spirits. There's people that say they feel like a serpent is wrapped around their head. How many have ever felt something like that on your head? Yes, they're putting their... Yes, be honest. This is down to earth. We're not churchy here. I guess you've already found that out. This is not a church. It's a campground. And we're going to begin to pray for you. And we're going to begin to call out various things that you may be indulged in. Jehovah's Witnesses, Eastern Star, Masonic Temple, all kinds of... I'll tell you something that's really bad. Brother Papel would know this man if I called him by name. He was an international director. They had been to the Orient so much, their whole house was Oriental inside. And all these little pagodas and everything. And he just waned away and died. And there's a lot of people that have had these owls in their house that have just waned away and died. And there's a lot of other things that are abominable. You know about James Robinson, that fellow that gave him all that Oriental stuff that was worth thousands of dollars for his TV program. And James was reading this very scripture. And we had just come into this at the time, and I saw it in our paper. And he said they were going over to get this stuff and to sell it. And he said, I can't accept that. I can't take that. He said, we can't receive that. And this man said, why? And he read that. Bring no abominable thing into your house. All these little... There's so much stuff when you start going into it. You need to walk through your house and ask the Lord to show you what you have in your house. And this man, there was another preacher with us, and he was a little braver than we are anyway. He told this international director and his wife, you have to get this stuff out of here. This is what's making your husband sick. And she said, I'll never do that. And he died. He just waned away and died. Saps your strength. Saps your strength in God. Glenn, please come, and we're going to pray. I'll pray first. We'll pray first, and we'll start calling some of these things out. Now, evil spirits come out exactly opposite of the Holy Spirit. We breathe in the Holy Spirit. We drink it in, don't we? The Bible says, come to me and drink. Drink in. Evil spirits come in, and they go out with breath. They go out with breath. And we have made it so difficult. We are so afraid of all this. And Christians are so afraid of evil spirits. But we don't need to be afraid of evil spirits. People that are very fearful have this occult spirit in them, this divination spirit in them. Anyway, we're going to pray right now. How many feel that you've gotten some of these things in your home or read some of these things that you need deliverance from the occult? Put up your hand and be honest. Let's see. Come on. There's got to be more of you. Okay. We're going to pray. Dear Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We ask you for help. Lord, we've come to be changed.
Lord, we've come to be changed.
We thank you that you will change us.
You say to call on you,
and you'll show us great and mighty things. We thank you for those things that you have showed us. And we want to repent right now for reading horoscopes, for going to fortune tellers, for reading Jehovah's Witness books, involved with voodoo, Scientology, going to seances, trying to communicate with dead spirits, practicing automatic writing, practicing levitation, practicing yoga, hypnosis, medical hypnosis. We denounce all these things. We denounce Christian Science, metaphysics healing, hair diagnosis, swinging the pendulum, reading books on reincarnation or dreams, self-realization, magic, clairvoyance, all religious cult books, Edgar Cayce books, Jean Dixon books, Arthur Ford, attending meetings of Rosicrucianists, spiritualists, Mormons, Christian Science, Unity, Theosophy, Inner Peace Movement, Unitarians, Moonies, The Way, Jesus Only Churches. Now these curses, I'll just stop and enumerate a little bit. These curses are visited down on us from four generations back, or even sometimes 10 generations in case of incest. Wearing of jewelry, forgive us, Lord, for wearing of jewelry that's ungodly, like the Italian horn or the Star of David, hex signs, incantation and rock music, all kinds of Christian rock because of the beat, belonging to secret societies, unscriptural religious beliefs, hatred of the blood, blasphemous thoughts, abnormal talking or loudness or muttering, unkempt appearance, bright and glazed eyes, sullen and defiant expressions, marital problems, parental problems, rebellion, strife and discord. We denounce all things of the occult, things we have not mentioned. Ekinkar, we did not mention. Let's denounce Ekinkar and Scientology. Pyramid power, Indian witchcraft and Indian dolls, burning incense. I'll stop a minute. The Bible says incense, burning of incense is an abomination to God. The incense is our praise and worship. That's the good kind. Now, this is a manifestation of the occult. Depression, gloominess, indifference, irresponsibility. There's all kinds of that in the body of Christ. Unpredictable behavior, having delusions. God told me this and God told me that. Uncontrollable passions and eating, appetites, sexual perversion, masturbation, adultery, enslavement to drugs, alcohol, tobacco and food, uncontrollable temper, hate, chronic fears and anxieties, nervousness, self-pity, abnormal desire for attention, negative, lying, stealing, gambling, fear of dying, jealousy, and on it goes. Well, are we ready? Are we ready? We have denounced it. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blood. We thank you for forgiving us and cleansing our blood that has not been cleansed. These things that we have taken on
and inherited from our forefathers that has affected us. We ask you to forgive us out of the hands of the enemy. Your word says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. We call on you now to deliver us from all evil. We thank you, Lord, that your blood avails, that you never lie to us, and we're depending on deliverance here this afternoon from all schizophrenia and mental problems. These other things that we've mentioned. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the anointing to destroy the yoke. We thank you for the blood and your name, Jesus, that you've allowed us to use. And we come in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that whoever has called on the Lord, name of the Lord shall be delivered. Okay. Now, we won't need to pray anymore. You're going to push these things out, denounce them, command them to come out, and Glenn's going to call them out. And we're going to...
We've already called them out. Yes? No. We prayed and fasted. Okay. Wonderful. You just have to, the Lord, show you, and yeah, we'll be glad to pray with you for him too. Father, come in the name of the Lord Jesus, that name that's above every name. And we take authority over every one of these spirits that Irma has called out. And if there are anybody here, I bind them to the day of judgment. Ask for the angels of the Lord that are here to take these spirits and to put them wherever you want to put them until Jesus shall judge them at the day of judgment. I thank you for it, Father. Now, in the name of Jesus, I command these spirits to come out. Any of these spirits that are here, in the name of Jesus, I command them to come out of these people in Jesus' name. Loose them and come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I bind you, I break your dominion, and I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord, and the blood of Calvary cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Calvary cleanses us from sin, and I put the blood against you. I put the blood against every evil spirit. In Jesus' name, the blood of Jesus cleanses and washes and takes your rights away. I break your rights. I put your rights away. The blood of Jesus cleanses and washes, and I take your rights away. Every spirit that Irma has called out this afternoon, I take your rights away. I put the blood of Calvary to separate between you the person that you have had taken a boat in. I take your place of abode away. I bind you and command you to come out in Jesus' name. Every foul, evil spirit, I break your power over every person present here this afternoon, and I loose you from them in Jesus' name. Come out of them. Come out. All the spirits of the occult and all those that are affected by the occult, spirits of witchcraft, spirits of the occult, come out in Jesus' name. All the other spirits that come out in the name of the Lord Jesus, all those related to the studies of the occult, to Eastern religions, I break your dominion over these people. I command you to come out in Jesus' name. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus. I loose you from them in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. All the effects of the occult, all the powers of the occult, come out in the name of Jesus. Come out, all the sicknesses that's associated with the things of the occult. I break the curses of it over the people in Jesus' name. Spirits of insanity, come out in the name of Jesus. Spirits of insanity, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. I break the curses of insanity over these people. From problems in the mind, I break the powers of the problems in the mind. I loose them from them. I put the blood to cleanse and to wash. The blood of Jesus, the scars and stripes and blood of the whipping post, I put against these areas in Jesus' name. I break your power. Inherited curses of the occult has come down through the family line. from grandmother or grandfather, mother or father, a grandmother or great-grandmother that has wished for her spirit to be carried on by her daughter or her granddaughter or her great-granddaughter. I break those powers in Jesus' name. The same with the men. If it's been wished upon a man, I break that power in Jesus' name, and I loose them from it in the name of the Lord. I loose them from that spirit in Jesus' name. Spirit of the occult, I break that power in Jesus' name. I loose you from it in the name of the Lord. I break your dominion. Come out in Jesus' name. I bind you and I break your power to the day of judgment. I bind you. You'll never return to torment anyone again. I bind and break your dominion in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out in the name of the Lord. Come out. I break your power in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. I loose us from it in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for the authority in the name of Jesus. I loose us from that powers of Satan in Jesus' name. Jesus said it gives us that authority. And Satan, I take that authority this afternoon. Jesus told you, Satan, that it was written. And I tell you that it is written that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that to him be the glory and the praise. He is Lord. And I take your rights away from these people by the name of the Lord Jesus. I loose them from you in Jesus' name. I take your assignment. I break your assignment against everyone present here. Whatever assignment that Satan has, that Lucifer has assigned to you, demon, I take your assignment away this afternoon. I break your controlling power. I loose these people from your controlling powers in Jesus' name. I break your powers and dominion over these people in the name of the Lord. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Thank you, Jesus. 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 The blood of Jesus cleanses and washes us. The blood cleanses. There's forgiveness in the name and the blood of Jesus. There's cleansing. There's cleansing in the name and the blood of Father, I thank you for the cleansing. I thank you for the forgiveness. I praise you for it. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.